Thank you, Duane. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see each one of your faces, and may God bless us as we meet in the name of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this morning. I know Duane, he brought an assistant to help him with his sermon, and I really appreciated that. It's not an evil thought, but I had a thought I would like to bring mine, and that was my companion, Jake. He's by my side all the time when I'm walking, and he's a very good person to meet people. I'm able throughout this neighborhood, because I walk him, I get to meet Sandy, I get to meet Ray, I get to meet Yarka and Joe, I get to meet Jody, and have conversations with them. And those are all people in the neighborhood that I had not met before, just by walking Jake. But anyhow, I have something I want to share with you. It could be applied to what I'm going to talk about tonight. Words of Winston Churchill. Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And then there was another person, I know the Lord worked through him in a mighty way in a very, very difficult time in our nation. No other time other than the beginning of our nation, that was Abraham Lincoln. And he had these words: human nature will not change. In any future great national trial, compared the men of this, meaning the Civil War, when they were going through those 5 years, we shall have as weak and as strong, as silly and as wise, as bad and as good. Let us therefore study the incidents in this as philosophy to learn wisdom from, and none of them as wrongs to be avenged. Does that make sense? He believed in the grace that comes through Christ himself. At the end of the war, that's probably why he got shot. He said, those are our brothers, our fellow citizens. And it's not for us to cause any more death, but to bring them back into the fold that we call America, to forgive them. One out of every four Americans died during that war. I like the words that he had to say. He was a true believer of God. He was on his knees many times throughout that period of time, seeking wisdom and discernment. Tonight, my title of my sermon is Our Fellowship in Christ Jesus. I've asked some volunteers to help me read, so I'm going to ask them to do so when I get to that point. You may see me walking down here talking to you. That's kind of what I've done in the Philippines. I enjoy being close to our people and talking to you, not always up here on a high pedestal. So you may see me down there walking with and talking about different things, reminiscing. So fellowship in Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Companionship, society, consort, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. Familiar intercourse, meaning communication one between the other. Association, confederacy, combination. Partnership, joint interest as fellowship in pain. As I get older, I can empathize with our brother Don and Betty and different ones who have gone before me as to, and Betty and Hubert back there, as to what pain is as you get a little older. Company, a state of being together. That's what Jesus Christ has called us to be, is to have that fellowship. But there's a common bond in that that makes us a people. And I want to talk a little bit about what that is. So my scripture verse tonight, it's going to be in Ephesians. And one of you guys got that? Ephesians, the third chapter. And let's read verse, verse 7 through 9. No, 6 through 9, excuse me. 6 through 9. Go ahead. Speak up.
For the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid from God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you very much. So I want to focus on that last verse that he read in the ninth verse of the third chapter. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And Paul talks about this mystery, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So like Dwayne this morning, he went right at the beginning of Genesis and talked about a little bit of the creation and different things like that. So what is this mystery that he's speaking of? Well, I believe that in part we can find that in Ephesians in the first chapter. And so I would like somebody read the Ephesians 1 and read 1 through 7, please. Can we have another one read that for us? Ephesians 1, 1 through 7. Okay, thanks.
According as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory and his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Thank you. So we know and we understand through the scriptures that Paul was an enemy. He fought against Christ and his doctrine. He was a Pharisee. And he had a hard time understanding what Christ was all about. And through the grace of God and what Christ said, okay, if I can't, I'm going to call Paul. I know his heart. And I'm going to make him suffer like me for my word's sake. And he's going to learn. He's going to learn from me. And he's going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so part of that mystery, it says the fellowship of the mystery, is that Paul understood that there was more to this fellowship than just the house of Israel. Because that's all they knew. That's all they were taught in the Mosaic Law. Everyone else was an infidel. Kind of sound familiar? The only way that they could be part of the body was to come in and accept the Mosaic Law and live the life as a Jew. But this mystery, the key to it, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That is the mystery. And I'm going to explain a little bit more of that. From the very beginning, before the creation, Christ was. Him being the only begotten of the Father, with the Father, who created all things. That plan was already set in motion. Predestined that there will be those who would accept the gospel, accept the teachings of Christ, who would follow after God, and become an heir, sons of God, to live with him in his kingdom. The perfect will of God. He was hoping that all would. But he knew the the weakness of the flesh. Let's go to, let's read 9 through 11, same chapter, 1 Ephesians 9 through 11.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Do you see that picture? Do you think about those things, being part of that, being an adopted heir, being part of that kingdom when you leave this life behind? I hope and pray you do, that you think of it often. Because that is the perfect will of God, that we might be with him. So how do we become part of that? In the book of Jeremiah, we're going to look at Jeremiah, and we're going to go to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, and we're going to read 31 through 34. This is the beginning of that understanding of how we can be a part or part of that adoption that Christ is calling, and that mystery that Paul had spoke of. Jeremiah spoke of it. 31?
Which chapter was it?
Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34.
Saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord.
Through 34.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more.
So this was the prophecy that came through Jeremiah concerning the coming forth of that comforter that Christ spoke of in the book of John. That it was going to, that unlike the Mosaic Law, if you remember the history, if you read in your Old Testaments, when they were in the, when they came up the Mount Horeb and Moses was getting the law and he was there, but as they approached, they saw this volcano and fire and all kinds of stuff, and they got scared. And they said, Moses, you go and find out what it's all about and come out and tell us, and we will listen. That's what they said. That's the house of Israel said that. And that was the kind of relationship that they had. If they were going to meet God, they had to go where? They had to come to the temple. And that high priest had to make the sacrifice. All those things that we read in Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament. They had to follow those things. That was their relationship, except for the prophets and those that the Spirit worked through. But the individual there, he had to perform these ordinances, and they were blessed. But he said, that's not going to be anymore. It's going to be something different. It's going to come. There's this great promise that's going to be coming, and you're going to be able to receive it. And this is what you're going to be able to do. You're going to have my law in your hearts. And someone else is going to have to teach you, because it'll be by that Spirit will teach you those things that you'll need to know and follow and call you back and to help you in your life. And that was the promise. So let's Go back into the Gospels, John in the 14th chapter. And we're going to read verses, let me see. This is where you find Christ's words in the 14th chapter concerning that beautiful gift. In the 14th chapter, let's read verses 15 through 17, please. John 14, 15 through 17.
Pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
Okay, so what is the takeaway, your thoughts, what is the takeaway from that scripture verse? What are the points that you would kind of key in on if you were reading this on your own, you were sitting in your home? What would strike your heart? You have any thoughts? Either any of you down there? Do you have anything that you can as a takeaway? If you love me, keep my commandments. That would probably be kind of an obvious one, wouldn't it? And I will pray the Father, he shall give unto you another Comforter. Another Comforter. Wait a minute. I thought the Spirit of God was given to everybody right from the very beginning. The tree of life, the understanding of good and evil. So what is this all about? This sounds something different, because what else does it say? It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Wait a minute. That means that there's more to this story, isn't it, than just that knowing good and evil, maybe. There's more to it. There's more to that relationship, that fellowship in Christ. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Shall, meaning in the future, because it hadn't come yet. It hadn't been given yet. I will not leave you a comfortless. That means I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. That's what that word means. He walked with them for over 3 years. He ate and slept with them and taught and suffered with them, all his disciples, throughout that whole period of time. They saw him when he was walking on water, when he came down from the mountain, when he fed the 5,000, when he did all these marvelous things. And now he's trying to tell him, I'm going to be leaving you. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be with you. Because I'm going to pray to the Father for another Comforter. I won't leave you as an orphan in this world. So drop down to verse 26 and read that verse. Let's see what it see what it. Well, 26 and 27. 14, John 14, 26 and 27.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Okay. So this Comforter is going to do what? It's going to fulfill those words of Jeremiah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, right? Figuratively. So here it says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. They would have to go to their synagogues. They would have to hear the Torah being read to them. And all those things. I mean, we have an obligation. If we want to know the things of the Lord, it's kind of hard for somebody to put something in our hearts and minds if we don't read it. They were doing it on a regular basis. So that promise is that as we apply ourselves in reading the scriptures, the word of God, and if we have taken those steps, which we're going to read in Moroni. You can get Moroni. I don't know if you can do that on your, if you got a Book of Mormon, get that, because we're going to read out of Moroni 8:29. If you can pull that up. That we read the scriptures and that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will help us to understand those things or give us that understanding as we seek understanding and the truth, like we are told in John in the 8th chapter, the 31st verse. If we continue in his word, we could be made free and we would know the truth. So let's see, how do we get this? I chose Moroni in the 8th chapter, verse 29, because it's very simple. It puts it straightforward. And it shows, it gives us a good picture of what that mystery, that fellowship of the mystery was that Paul was speaking of. So who's got that? Moroni.
And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, and because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God.
And that is the complete picture of that fellowship of the mystery that Paul was speaking of. Becoming adopted heirs, being to dwell with God for eternity. And that's how we do it. That is the commandment. We find that in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. The first fruits is repentance. What does that mean? That means you have to humble yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and say, wait a minute. When the Spirit of God tells me that I'm wrong, I can see that. And I need to repent. How can I get closer to God? Do I want to get close to God? Am I going to be like the Israelites standing up? Oh, boy, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to be around that. Or are we going to want to come to him in humility? And the remission of sins bringeth meekness, meaning that when you receive that forgiveness, when you feel the presence of that Spirit touch your heart, no one can take that from you. No one. You're renewed. And lowliness of heart. Because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. It rests upon you. And the only thing you could say is, Abba, Father. That's if you can say anything when it rests upon you, other than to praise God. Which comforter filleth with hope and a perfect love, which love endureth by diligence, but unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. That's the path. That's the plan from the very beginning of time, that Christ was going to come and he was going to be the propitiation, as Dwayne said this morning. He who stood in the middle of God and us to reconcile us, as in Zechariah in the 6th chapter. The only one through the blood that he spilt and took upon him our sins. The easiness of the path, and yet so difficult for us to understand at times because of our rebellious heart. Let's read John in the 16th chapter in verse 7. John 16:7.
expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you.
Okay, so here he is. He's there talking to his disciples. He's saying, I've got to go away or he's not going to come. Again, giving you an understanding that the world cannot receive it out of hand. So if we go to Galatians in the 4th chapter in the 6th verse, Paul pegs it. It was actually Luke. As he recorded it was Paul, Galatians 4:6. But what took place in the book of Acts when they were given the gift of the Holy Ghost? Galatians 4:6, I'll go ahead and read that. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Christ. I will not leave you alone. I won't leave you as an orphan. I've got to go. For this to take place. So, the workings of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the spirits that you can read in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, or Moroni in the 10th chapter. There's many things that come by way of the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Those of you that have been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I hope and pray you have some testimonies concerning how that gift has been working in your life. I know for myself, it started after a great, great, great trial in my life. Because I was a rebellious person. But the Lord heard my cry and had compassion upon me. I prayed that I would be able to come. I was in Korea at the time. My life was totally in shambles. I earnestly prayed that he would open the door in the military to send me to a place where I could come and have that fellowship with a body of believers. And I prayed earnestly for it. But in the military, what do? You say, I want to go here, 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 here. You gotta choose. And those choices go into a big computer. But the Lord knew and heard my prayer. And I was stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And I promised him if I got to a place where I could come, I would come. So when I got here, Jim and Wanda picked me up in the station wagon and brought me here for the first time, very first time I ever walked into a local. I praise God. I bought a motorcycle and I drove up here every weekend. They had a place for me to stay. And I started to volunteer doing these things that I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to be a part of that fellowship. I adopted them, and they adopted me. The saints did. They looked beyond, like they did with Paul, his sins, and accepted him. They became my mother, my father, my uncle, my grandfather. My brother and sister. Oh, well. They are still, even today. But that didn't stop. Because I was a mess anyhow. I had to have God intervene in my life to try to find my focus. And he helped me to... I was sitting right over there where... Right behind you guys, I was sitting right there. And Brother Hausnick, standing up here, and he said, and it was in the evening service, He said, you know, I prepared a sermon, but I feel led to go a different direction. He didn't know I was been praying about my job and trying to figure out, here I'm in the military, and I knew that I'm not free. 9 years, I'm almost halfway there. 10 more years, 11 years, I could retire. Full pension for all my life. But I was asking the Lord, what do I need to do? I want to be a part of this. What should I do? And I was praying about it earnestly. Brother Hasnick said, this is what was given to me. If you want to serve the Lord, you have to make yourself free, where you're not dictated as to where you're going to go. And the Spirit of the Lord rested upon me right at that moment. He said, he's talking to me. That's the fellowship, the companionship, the association of the gathering of the saints that brought that about, the possibility. And I knew. My very words were, that's all I knew, Lord. There was always fences around me. I grew up, my father was in the Air Force. We were in the military. We got our hospitalization. We had guards at the gates. No one could come in. We had our housing, you know, schooling and everything else. That's all I knew. And then 9 years of my own life. Help me, Lord, to find a job that I might fulfill that, because I knew I was spoken to. Now, had I not come that day, would I have received that? If I had not availed myself to come and have that fellowship and had that desire to serve and had that desire to be a part of the body of Christ, that he brought me here, do you think I would have received it? I don't know. But I know it was very important. And it was my desires in my heart. And he heard my prayer. That was in, I forget when it was. It was like 2 months, 3 months before I was going to get out. I signed my discharge papers. I said, I'm getting out. So I notified them. And I started looking for a job, and another month go by, and waiting. And by that time, I got received another blessing. I was told I was going to be able to get married. And we were planning on getting married at the end of the year. Do you realize it was the day I was signing off on my discharge papers, the very day I got a phone call? Would you come to Honeywell and work and start at the beginning of the year? That gave us a couple of weeks where we got married and was able to go to have a nice time together as man and wife. And I got a job for 25 years. That's the power of prayer and the power of God working in the lives of his children. Through that fellowship, not being isolated, not being off by yourself, up in the mountain, whatever. That fellowship that he calls us, that fellowship of the mystery of the saints being together. There's been times when, and even more recent now, there's been times when the Lord, I remember when there, and you younger people won't know who I'm talking about, but there was our Kathy Cloyd and Kathy Malloy and their families. They used to meet, and we used to go, and we'd have services up in Sholo and different places with them. And Kathy Malloy and her family, she had a couple of young sons. And I remember one time I was there, and we were having services, and I was in the front room, and the young boys were giving their mother fits. And just I was compelled to say something. And I said, you boys, you need to listen to your mother. You realize maybe one day you may not have her with you. And you're going to be sorry for what you're doing to your mother. And I know why I said it, because I've got the rest of the story. But I was prompted to say it to those boys, and they settled down. You realize? I was packing my bags, and I was getting ready to head out to meet Don and Jay in Yucatan. That very weekend, Kathy Malloy was killed in an accident and taken a few months afterwards. Was that coincidence? Or was that the Spirit of God prompting me to say that? I have to agree. I have to err on the side of my God. No different than when Brother Hasnick said, I have a message. I had a message, but now I've got another message. The working of the Spirit of God among the children of men is real. And you're not going to realize it unless you come humbly before Him and meeting together and desiring to be closer to our God and to have that fellowship that He has called us to have. There's other ones. I won't labor it anymore. You understand what I'm talking about. Our spiritual walk in Christ. Let's go to Romans in the 8th chapter of Romans. And let's read verses 1 through 18. Romans 8, 1 through 18.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Heirs and joint heirs with Christ, the sons and daughters of God. Mortify, put to death those things of the body, the deeds of the body. This is a very good scripture to go to and to read and to really think about what Paul was writing to the Gentiles at the time, to help them to understand what the perfect will of God is in their lives and how the workings of the Spirit will bring them to that understanding of that fellowship of a mystery of God that was predestined from the beginning of time. Grace divine influenced upon the heart to be disciplined. And that's a very hard thing. That's one of the things, one of the reasons why I read that concerning history. We're no different than Israel or any other people when we read in the scriptures where you say, why do they keep doing the same thing? Haven't they learned? Well, we do the same thing. And we find ourselves doing kind of the same thing. Because of our weaknesses of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, it goes on to tell us how we should separate ourselves. And this is an important admonition. So let's read verses 14 through 18 of the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
So we unequally yoked toward together with unbelievers. It means that you got to be careful with the friends that you choose. It doesn't mean that you can't have friends in work or whatever and try to be a witness to them. But if it's preventing you to serve God and to come and to be a participant of this fellowship, of this mystery that Paul was speaking of, then it is going to be to your detriment. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be spiritually fed. And so you have to be careful that you don't allow those things to pull you away from the things that God has so ordained for you in your life, that you have chosen. Each one of you that have entered into the waters of baptism and want to become adopted heirs to the kingdom of Christ. And how does he preface it? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? How many idols in our lives will take us away from the things of God? So easy in our day that we live. There's so many things that can distract us and take us away from the things that we should and what should be doing and be a part of. For ye are the temple of the living God, meaning that His Spirit is in you now. It's not at some temple. And I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That was John speaking. First-hand witness testimony, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the workings of the church, the picture of how it should be functioning, Acts, the 2nd chapter, verses 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And that all believed that were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
And so I see here a people knit together by the power of his Spirit. And they had that desire to have that commonality, that fellowship, to be those saints, to follow after Christ. In Moroni, in the 6th chapter, verse 9, it says, and their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost. For the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether what? To preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, or even so it was done. That they were led and directed by the Spirit of God in their meetings. I hope and pray that I know we have in times past, when there was a need, we would stop and have prayer or to administer to somebody. In times past, there's been those spoken to by the Spirit for direction and callings. Those are the workings of the Spirit within the body of Christ when we truly have that fellowship with Christ. In 4th Nephi, I'm going to read this, boys. The first chapter is a beautiful picture, verses 11 through 19. And now behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi, this is after Christ had visited them after the death and resurrection and gave them this gospel and then renewed those 2,500 believers that he came to, that you read in 3rd Nephi in the 8th chapter, and served them the emblems of life and had the disciples. And so he leaves, and this is what happens afterwards. That the people in Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. They were being married and given in marriage. They were following the commandments of God. They weren't living together before they got married. They had the proper relationship because they wanted the proper relationship. Keeping the commandments of God, that's important. You cannot build on a sandy foundation and ask God to bless it. And they did not walk anymore after the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and meeting together off both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention. Goodness gracious. There is the fruit that comes from doing those things that God had so ordained for us to do and to have that beautiful fellowship one with another and with Christ and the Spirit. There was no more contention among the people in all the land, and there were mighty miracles wrought. So the power of the Holy Ghost was there, and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost was there, wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 70 in the first year passed away, and also the 70 in the second year. Yea, and in fine, unto the 70 and ninth year had passed away. Yea, even 100 years had passed away, and the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three which should tarry. And so it's important to read that because it's saying there was quite a few years afterwards after Christ left, and there's a new generation coming up. So did they learn the lessons? Let's find out. So in verse 16, and there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of their generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there was no contentions in the land because the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people, and there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manners of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among the people which had been created by the hand of God. So do you think there were none that sinned? You're reading that wrong. Because the body of Christ was working together to help one another if they were found in a fault. They were quick to help them to come out of it. And they humbled themselves. They were humans just like you and I, with weaknesses. And yet, by the power of God and the grace that comes through His Son, even Jesus Christ through His blood, they were made whole and continued in that faith because of the body of Christ working together in fellowship by the power of the Holy Ghost. And verse 19, and surely could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. Would you like to live in those conditions? Would you like to experience those things? I hope and pray you do. I'm going to end with an admonition that Mormon gave to his son, Moroni. My son, this is in the 9th chapter, verse 27 and 28. Be faithful in Christ, and may not the things which I have written grieve thee, to weigh thee down unto death. This was many years after I just read about, and they fell away, and there was contentions and wars, and they were fighting each other and destroying each other. Because of pride and vanity and all those human aspects they allowed to creep in that destroyed them. But may Christ lift thee up, and may his sufferings and death and the shewing his body unto our fathers and his mercy and long-suffering and the hope is his glory and of eternal life rest in your mind forever. And may the grace of God the Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitteth on the right hand of his power, until all things shall become subject unto him, and be and abide with you forever. The fulfillment of that beautiful mystery of fellowship. The saints dwelling with God eternally. May God be with us, I pray. Thank you.